I think this is the third time that I've been to preach the gospel here in Leven, and it's always nice to be with you. I always learn a few new hymns when you come to Leven, and there was quite a few there that I'd never heard before. I've been going to meetings since I was born, I think, and you always learn new ones when you come here. But I was glad we sang that last one, because it always takes me back to my childhood, and going to Sunday school up in the north of Scotland in Elgin. That was one of the choruses that we always used to sing. And it's 19 years past this last week since I got saved as a boy of 9. And it just reminded me of that. And you know, over those years, God has been very good to me. I can't say that I've been very good to Him for much of that time. And I've let Him down many times, but I can say that He has never let me down. He's a faithful God, and He's been good to me. And it's a great thing to be saved. And everyone here who is saved will know that for themselves. Now we're going to turn and look at a very well-known passage from the Word of God tonight in the Gospel of John and chapter 14. John's Gospel and chapter 14, and we're going to read a few verses there and think about that this evening. The background to these verses is really, it's the night on which the Lord Jesus Christ would eventually be betrayed by Judas and would be arrested by the soldiers and would be taken away to be crucified the next day. And he is gathered with his disciples, and he speaks to them here in verse 1 of John's Gospel, chapter 14, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I want us to consider four things from these verses this evening. First of all, I want us to think about a great peace that is mentioned in these verses. Secondly, we'll think about a great place that is mentioned in these verses. Thirdly, we'll think about a great preparation that is mentioned from the verses we've read. And then fourthly and finally, we'll think about a great priority that is inferred in the verses that we've read. So a great place, a great peace rather, a great place, a great preparation, and a great priority. First of all, let us think together about this great peace that is mentioned. I wonder if you can imagine the scene that we've read of this evening. It's always quite useful to try and imagine and picture what's going on when you read the Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ is here with his disciples gathered round him, just like you're all gathered round this evening. And there's a few more just about to gather round as well by the looks of things. And they're all gathered round the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to them. And as the Lord Jesus Christ looks around at his disciples, his followers, he sees some worried looks on their faces. He sees some anxious expressions. He sees that they're troubled. And he says to them in verse 1 that we read, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, why were the disciples troubled that day? Why was it that they were so worried? Well, they were worried because the Lord Jesus Christ had told them that he was leaving them. He told them that he was going to the cross to die. And this man whom they had followed around for the last 3 or so years and learnt from and followed his example, who had been with them every step of the way, every moment of every day, virtually, he was going to be leaving them. And they were going to be left on their own. And they were worried. They were troubled. They were anxious. And it seemed that their world was falling apart. It seemed that everything was caving in around these men. It seemed that their lives were just on the verge of collapse. And they didn't know what tomorrow would bring. And they didn't know what lay ahead or what was around the corner. And they faced an uncertain future. And the Lord Jesus Christ reveals the answer to their troubled hearts. He reveals the remedy, the solution to their anxiety and their worry. He says to them, "Believe also in me. Believe in me." And you know, today that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you as well. He's saying, believe in me. Believe in me. If your heart is troubled today, if you are worried about an uncertain future, if you're concerned about eternity at the end of this life, there's a great peace to be found through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today. The Bible describes it as a peace that passes all understanding, the peace of God which is received through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says to you today, very simply, believe in me. And now, having told them about this great peace that he provides to them, he now goes on to tell them about a great place that he's prepared for them. And that great place, I'm sure you can guess what that great place is. It's the Father's house. It's a home in heaven. Now, I suppose we've all tried to imagine and picture what heaven might be like. I'm sure all the boys and girls here, they've tried to imagine what heaven is like. I've tried to imagine what heaven is like. And you know, it's very difficult to imagine heaven, isn't it? With our minds, with our human minds, it's difficult to imagine what it will be like. But I want to say three things about heaven tonight. First of all, heaven is a peaceful place. What do I mean by that? Well, there's many people in the world today who think that God doesn't care about them, think that God's not interested in them, that God doesn't love them. And they go through life thinking this, and they wonder, why is their life so hard? Why are there so many difficulties, so many problems in their lives? Why did they go through so much suffering? And they think that because they go through all these things, God's not interested, God doesn't care, God doesn't love me, God doesn't know anything about me. You know, I want to tell you tonight that God knows all about you. He knows everything about you. He knows all your problems, all your worries. He knows every heartache. He sees every tear. And he cares more for you than you'll ever know. He loves you more than you'll ever understand. And you know, he's not promised to make our lives easy. He's not promised to take away all of our problems. But what he has promised is this. God has promised that he has prepared a place for us where one day he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And there will be no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. He's prepared a peaceful place for us to go at the end of this life if we believe on him. You know, earlier on this year I was in a graveyard. I don't make it a habit or a hobby to be in cemeteries or anything like that. I know some people are quite interested in that kind of thing. It's not really my cup of tea. But I happened to be in one. And I noticed something on one of the gravestones. I don't know if you've ever read some of the gravestones. But I noticed something that I thought was very interesting. And something that stuck with me ever since. It said on it, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. You know, I thought that was very good and I thought that was very true. Because as you look around, there are many sad people in the world today. Many people who have troubled lives, lots of problems and difficulties. Their lives are a mess. But you know, no matter how difficult life gets, for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, one moment in heaven and one glimpse of the Saviour above will more than make up for a lifetime of heartache and sorrow here below. I believe that with all my heart. And it just seems that the Lord Jesus Christ today is saying to those who believe in him, the journey of life might be rough, but the road is leading homeward and it's leading heavenward. And that's the great hope that Christians have. That's the great hope that people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have. Even though life is difficult at times, we're heading home to heaven. And I wonder whether you've all got that hope today. You know, people travel long distances through difficult and treacherous conditions in order to get home, don't they? You think about it at Christmas time, you know, when we had all the snow and the ice and the storms, people travelled hundreds of miles, didn't they, to get home. But they didn't mind the journey because they knew they were going home. And their eye was focused on the place they were going and the people that they were going to see there. You know, that's what it's like for Christians. Life is difficult sometimes, but we've got a great hope. And our eye is fixed on the place we're going. That's heaven. And on the person who's going to welcome us there. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so first of all, heaven is a peaceful place. No more problems in heaven. No more pain in heaven. No more sorrow in heaven. But secondly, heaven is a personal place. What do I mean by that? Well, look how the Lord Jesus Christ describes heaven in verse 2. He calls it my Father's house. That's a very interesting description, isn't it? My Father's house. My Father's home. You know, sometimes we say there's no place like home, don't we? And even if we go away on holiday and we enjoy the sun and we enjoy the places that we go, we enjoy the beach and all the rest of it, it's always nice to come home, isn't it? Because home is a warm and a welcoming place. And really that's what heaven is like for people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's family home. It's a home for God's children. Let me ask you the question though. Are you one of God's children? Are you a child of God? You know, if heaven is a place for God's children, it means we need to be one of God's children to get there. You might be wondering, well, how is it that you become one of God's children? How is it that you become a member of God's family? Well, how do you become a member of any family? You need to be born into a family, don't you? You're born into a family. And I wonder, have you ever been born into God's family? Have you ever been born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, there's one of the choruses we sing in the Sunday school back in Perth. I don't know if you sing it in the Sunday school here or in your kids' club here. But it says, are you a real Christian? Have you been born again? Are you a real Christian? Have you been born again? That's a very good question to ask yourself today. You know, some people seem to think that a born-again Christian is a special type of Christian. Well, let me tell you this. According to the Word of God, the Bible, a born-again Christian is not a special type of Christian. It's the only type of Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ said to a man called Nicodemus, he said to him, unless a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He said to that man, you must be born again. It wasn't an optional thing for that man. You must be born again. Born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a spiritual birth. And we need to turn away from our sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive new life, spiritual life, eternal life. And I was just saying before some of the boys and girls came in, I was born again when I was 9 years old. You know, I've got two birthdays. Pretty good. You don't get a present on the second one, which is maybe not quite as good. But I've got two birthdays. The day that I was born, that was a long, long time ago, in 1983, 11th of April. And the day I was born again, the day I became a Christian, that was the 10th of May, 1992, when I was 9 years old. Now, I don't know how old you guys are that are here in the front couple of rows, and further back as well. But I was 9 years old when I became a Christian. So you're never too young to become a Christian and to be born again. So we need to be born again if we're going to be in the Father's house, because it's a personal place. But thirdly, heaven is a pure place. And by that I mean it's a holy place, because it's the home of a holy God. Think about your own home for a moment. Now you wouldn't let any old person just wander into your home, would you? So if somebody comes to your door and their shoes are covered in mud, well, you'd quite like them to take their shoes off before they enter into your house, wouldn't you? You know, I remember when I was a boy, just the same age as some of the lads down the front here, I used to love going out and playing football. I don't know if you like playing football. Well, I used to go out the back garden, and I used to come back to the house covered in mud, head to toe. And I'd always be met by my mum. And my mum would be standing at the door, and she would always say, you're not coming in here like that. And the shoes would be off, and before you knew it, most of the clothes would be off before you were allowed in the house. Now the point is that we've all got entry. We've all got standards for entry into our houses, don't we? Standards for entry into our homes. And you know, God is just the same. God's no different. He's got a standard for entry into his house, into his home in heaven. And you know what God's standard for entry is? It's absolute perfect holiness. Absolute perfect holiness. That's the standard for entry into heaven. And sin cannot enter into that place. And that is a bad news for you and I, because that means that with our sin, we cannot enter into that place. And our sins must be forgiven before we can enter into heaven. You know, maybe today you say, well, I'm not that bad. I'm quite a good person. I'm not as bad as some of my friends or some of the other people that I know. Well, you know, the Bible tells us this in Romans 3 verse 23. What does it say? It doesn't say there that some have sinned. It doesn't say that many have sinned or most have sinned. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have failed to reach that standard that we need to get to. We've all failed to meet the entry requirements for heaven. You know, if you were to apply to get into a university or a college, and you would need to sit your exams, and there would be entry requirements. So maybe you would need to sit your exams and get 5 A's to get in to the college or university. That's the entry requirements. So you go away and you try your hardest, you try your best, you sit your exams, and the results come back, and you've got 4 A's and a B. Well, you've done very well, haven't you? You've done better than I did, anyway. But you've not done well enough. You've not met the entry requirements, and you wouldn't get in. And you know, it's just like that when it comes to heaven. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good we are, we just don't meet the entry requirements. We've all failed the audition of life. Now, I don't know whether you watch things like Britain's Got Talent and The X Factor and all this kind of stuff. I try to avoid them as much as I can. But you know, on that there's auditions. And an audition is really when somebody assesses someone. They watch someone. And if they're good enough, well, they get in, they get through. And if they're not very good, well, they're out. You know, our lives are just like auditions. And God is watching on. And he sees everything we do. And he hears everything we say. And he knows everything we think. And when it comes to the audition of life, every one of us have failed. We've failed the audition of life. And because of that, we're disqualified from heaven. And so not one of us deserves to set foot in the Father's house, this great place that we're speaking about today. But you know, this is the wonderful message of the gospel. This is the message we preach, that it is possible for those of us who do not deserve to be there, to get there. Because out of his wonderful love and out of his amazing grace, God has prepared a way for sinners to get to heaven. And you know, that's what we're going to think about next. Because we want to think now about a great preparation that we read about in these verses. The Lord Jesus Christ said in verse number 2, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. What was he talking about? Well, he was going back to heaven to prepare a place in heaven for those who believe in him. But how was he going back to heaven? Well, he was going back to heaven via the cross at Calvary. That's how he was going to go back to heaven. You see, the cross was no accident. It was no mistake. The cross at Calvary was all part of God's great plan of salvation. And that's why you hear about it. Every week if you come along to the gospel meeting here, people will speak about the cross. If you come along to Sunday school or the kids club, people will speak about the cross. Because it's a very important place. And a very important thing took place at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ had come into the world to go to the cross. The Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And how was he going to save sinners? It was by going to the cross. And so he went voluntarily. He went willingly. He went out of love for sinners like you and me all the way to the cross at Calvary. You know, the cross was the place where the way to heaven was prepared for us. You see, an entry price had to be paid for us to get to heaven. You know that sometimes when you go to places, you need to pay an entry price to get in. You go to a museum maybe, or somewhere else, you need to pay an entry price to get in. Well, it was an entry price that was required for us to get to heaven. And not one of us could afford to pay that price ourselves. Not one of us. The only one who could pay the price was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how he paid that price? It wasn't in silver or gold, the Bible says. It wasn't in pounds or dollars or euros. He paid the price in his own precious blood, the Bible says. He paid the price in his own blood. You know, that price involved great pain, and it involved great punishment. And I'm sure you've all heard about the great pain the Lord Jesus Christ endured when he was on the cross. How they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. How they put the crown of thorns on his head. How they lashed his back with a whip. How they laughed at him and spat upon him and did awful things to him. The great pain that he endured. But you know, more than that took place at the cross. He endured great punishment at the hands of God. You see, God's holiness demands that our sin has to be punished. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the sinless, perfect, holy one. He did no sin himself. And so the Bible says that he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. And it's just as if God gathered up all of your sins. I wonder if you can imagine this. All of your sins. Just imagine all the wrong that you've done throughout all your life. All the times that you've told lies and done things you shouldn't have done. And God has gathered it all together. All of your big sins and all of your little sins. Every one of them. And he's placed it all on the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. And instead of punishing you for all these things, he punished the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that is why today he's able to forgive you. Because someone else has taken your punishment. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken your punishment on the cross. And today, God is able to forgive you. And able to give you a place in heaven because of that. One of the hymns that we sometimes sing says, "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." You know, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he was on the cross. He paid the price for sin. He unlocked the gate of heaven so that we could enter in. And so today, entry into heaven is through the person who paid that price for sin upon the cross. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think it's a great thing that we don't need to guess how to get to heaven. You know, if you go out to people in Leven, or anywhere in Scotland, anywhere in the world, and you ask them, how do you get to heaven? You'll get so many different answers. Hundreds of answers. Everyone's got a different idea of how to get to heaven. You know, we don't need to worry about that. Because the Bible tells us how to get to heaven. And it tells us very clearly and very simply. There was a man here that we read about, and he didn't quite understand. And this man called Thomas said, how can we know the way? That was a good question to ask. It's always good to ask questions, by the way. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave a very clear and very simple and very straightforward answer that everyone here will be able to understand. What's the way to heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ said to him in verse 6, "I am the way. I am the way." Now, no matter what age you are, from the youngest to the oldest, every one of us can understand that, can't we? The way to heaven. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the way." But you know, he didn't stop there. He said, "I'm the truth." So he is the one who is reliable and trustworthy. He is the reliable and trustworthy way to heaven. And he didn't stop there. He said, "I'm the life." He's the eternally living one. He's the reliable, trustworthy, ever living, never dying way to heaven. And then he adds at the end, "No one comes to the Father except through me." You know, today people would like to tell you that there are many religions that lead to heaven and lead to God. And at school you'll hear about all these things. And they'll tell you about all these different religions that they think, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you believe something, at the end of it all you'll get to heaven. You know, that's not what the Bible says. And that's not what God says. And that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He simply says here, "No one comes to the Father. And no one goes to heaven except through me." It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way. Only one way to God and only one way to heaven. And it's through the Lord Jesus. You know, if you were to go to my house today, it would take you a wee while because I live in Perth. But there are many ways that you could go to my house. Lots of different roads, lots of different routes that take you to my house. And it would be the same for your house as well. But when it comes to the Father's house of heaven, there's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when you got to my house, there are several doors that you could enter into. You could go in the front door, you could go in the back door, you could go in the side door. But you know, when it comes to heaven, there's only one door that you can enter into, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And so today there is one way and there is one door into heaven, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through faith in him that we can be in heaven. And no other way. You know, if you were to stand before God tonight, and he was to ask you the question, I don't know if you can imagine what it would be like to stand before God, but if he was to ask you the question, why should I let you into heaven? Why should I let you into heaven? You know, I could go around the audience tonight. I won't do this, by the way. But I could go around and ask each one of you, why should I let you into heaven? Why should I let you into heaven? Why should I let you into heaven? I wonder what you would say. You know, I think it's very important that we prepare for that day. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. And I would suggest to you that this is a great priority for each one of us, to be prepared. You know, if on that day, like a lot of people, you were to bring out a list of times when you came to the gospel hall, you know, that would be a good thing. But that wouldn't be good enough. Because it's not coming to the gospel hall that gets you into heaven. It's not going to church that gets you into heaven. And if you were to maybe take out, like a lot of people perhaps would, take out your bank statement and show God all the times that you've given money away to charity and say, well, look, I've been good. I've given away all this money. Maybe that will get me into heaven. Well, that again is a good thing. But it's not good enough because it's not based on charitable giving your place in heaven. And maybe other people will bring out a collection of references. You know, people who have said that this person was a good person. And they'll hope that that will get them into heaven. But once again, that's not enough. Because entry into heaven is not really based on whether or not you're a good person. Entry into heaven is based on one thing alone. And that is whether or not you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. I wonder whether you've all done that. Whether you've accepted him as your own and personal Saviour. Every one of us has to come to heaven the same way. Through the same door. Through the same person, the Lord Jesus. It's the same way for children. It's the same way for teenagers. It's the same way for adults. It's the same way for older folks. It's the same way for rich people. It's the same way for poor people. It's the same way for women. It's the same way for men. It's the one way, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder whether you've ever come that way before and trusted in him to be your Saviour. The great priority that we want to think about briefly, just as we finish, we'll be finished in 2 minutes. This great priority. Heaven is prepared for you. We've just thought about that. Heaven is prepared for you. A way to heaven is prepared for you. But I wonder, are you prepared for heaven? Are you prepared to go to heaven? You know, there's another place prepared that the Bible speaks about. It's a place called hell. I don't want to speak about it too much tonight. But you know, it's an awful place. It's a place so awful that I don't want to speak about it tonight. But you know, that's the place that we will go to if we don't go to heaven. If we're not prepared to go to heaven. If we've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. So we need to prepare. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would appeal to every one of you today, from the youngest to the very oldest, to turn away from your sin. The Bible calls it repenting, turning away from your sinful way of life, and respond in faith to the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says to you today, believe in me. That's what he says to you. Very simple, believe in me. And friend, today, if you believe in him, then you'll be saved. The Bible says that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And if you're saved, you're prepared, and you're ready for heaven. Let's just pray. Our Father, we come into your presence at the end of our time together this evening, and we give you thanks for the opportunity that we've had just to try and simply explain the way of salvation and the gospel message. We give you thanks for a way to heaven that is prepared for us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and how he loved us and was willing to go to the cross, and how there he endured such great pain, and he endured that punishment that we deserve for our sin. We give you thanks that he was willing to go through it all out of love for us. And Father, we thank you that although the way the heaven is prepared for us. We do pray that each one of us would be prepared to go that way, and we'd be prepared for heaven today by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for everyone who's here today to hear the message, and we just pray that each one of them would turn away from their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things now and pray that you would bless us as we part, for we ask it all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.